where he got saved, and so they're. Yes, yes, ma'am. Bobby's going to be this Thursday. How old, Bobby? 41. Amen. You're close. You're close enough for him to smack the back of your head. That's how close you are. If I missed your birthday, God bless you. I didn't mean to miss you. And, I see Bobby Sakali's got a friend. Glad to have him. Make sure he gets a packet, Billy, a visitor packet. We're glad each one of you are here. I'm going to turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Yeah. And she is saved, lady.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Her name is Ruth. Let's ask God to help her and comfort her in her last hours. Let's turn to the book of Jonah. I brought some thoughts to our school Friday, and I want to bring some, I got some different, some other thoughts I want to bring to you. And the one thing about the Word of God, it can reach all ages, amen? And it's a familiar passage of Scripture, and you'll relate to it. I'll try not to preach long tonight, but there's a real thought, and I want to really work on it. My last thought of my message is, well, I'm hoping to work in your life, and well, actually all through it, but Jonah chapter 1, Jonah is right after Obadiah. You got Amos, you go past Daniel. It's about three quarters way through your Old Testament. It's a little book. Sometimes it's hard to find. If you can't find it, look in the front of your Bible. It tells you exactly where it's at. The book of Jonah. Let's stand for reading of God's Word. Glad you're here. Who did super church, big super church today, Brent? How many did you have in there, Brent? Amen. I know Carrie and Miss Karen had kids downstairs around 30 or so. And so we must have did pretty good on the buses today, huh? Even though they're cold. God bless our bus routes. I gotta share this with you. I was walking out of the BP last week. You bus workers, God bless your efforts. And a teenage boy said, "Hey, preacher." Actually, I paid with my card, but I came in and got a cup of coffee. nothing else, just a cup of coffee. That time. I said, "Yes." He said, "You don't know who I am." I said, "I really don't." And he's probably around 20 years old or so, 21, right in there, somewhere in there. And he said he used to ride the bus. Name was Heater. Heater was his name. Tall, thin boy. And he just lost someone in his family, just died. Did you know who it is, Lizzie? I can't pull it up right now. He told me, but I... might have been Bobby Heater. Might have been. But I can't remember. He told me. But the last name caught me. Heater. He's married now. Got a little boy. And... works down there at McDonald's at the BP there at Cotton Corners. But I invited him to our church and said, "You got to come back." And a couple weeks ago, I was out getting a cake for Mary Reinhardt, or it was either that or Grandpa Lemley. And some lady stopped me in the parking lot and said, "Hey, preacher." They were kids that rode the buses for when they were adults, but they said, "Hey, we remember you from VBS and Baptist Bucks." And I said, "You ought to come back, and we're going to do that some more, you know." Thank God for our people who work our bus routes. Man. You just never know.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen. There's a little boy that comes to our school. His grandma got saved. I've been noticing she's come here every Sunday now. I watch her. She's really a brokenhearted lady, but she's really had a lot of things in her life. But I know she's here every Sunday. He's been here for last month. And so he's in Austin's his name. Austin Schumann, I think. And his grandma's been coming. And pretty exciting to see God work in people's lives. Amen? All right, Jonah chapter 1. Let's look at the first three verses. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittithiel, saying, arise, don't hold me to that name. By the way, you might think you know it, but really, we ain't going to know until we get to heaven who was really right. And probably both of us are wrong. Like, why couldn't he just have Eddie and Bill and Jim and, you know, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. By the way, when you read the book of Genesis, you study that little city, Nineveh. It's the city Nineveh was brought up. Oh, don't get into it. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this precious word. Lord, as I sought you to what to preach for Sunday night, you told me to preach this, even though I preach it to the kids. You told me to preach, and of course, Lord, you gave me some different things to say tonight and different thoughts for them, the adults, to think about. Lord, I just pray that we can be a blessing tonight. Thank you for every single person that's here. And please bless them. And may the word of God go out powerful. And may it lodge in our heart. And may we use it for the glory of God. Please bless Robert and Tawny. Bless them with Brother Billy. And Lord, give them a safe journey when they come back to Ravenna. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I shared with the kids, and I'll share this little truth with you. Whenever you read the Word of God, know this for sure. Every Word of God is pure. When you read the Bible, you should not only get the truth of the Scriptures, as I taught the kids, but also have the story in the Scriptures you can apply to you personally. In other words, this is a historical truth. This isn't a fable. This is not a myth. This is not made up. This story really happened. This is an actual account of a man that got swallowed up by a well and lived and actually was used by God to reach a whole city. As a matter of fact, there was 120,000 people in that city. Pretty exciting when you think about it. And he was a backslider too. It's amazing what God does with just a bunch of dust. Amen? We're all just sanctified dust. But when you read the Scriptures, and when you read this story, it's not made up. It's the pure Word of God. It's a real story. It's a true story. It really happened. And not only do I want you always, when you read the Bible, to get the historical truth, but there should be, when you read the Scriptures, try to get a truth for you personally also that you can apply to your life from that Scripture. In other words, what could I learn from Jonah? I know the story's true. What can I learn from my life that from this story that I could apply to my life that it could be a beneficial help to my life walking with God? Amen? And so, come on, amen? And so, let's look at verse 1. Let's look at some things about Jonah's life that we can learn to help our life and walk with God. Verse 1 and 2. Look at verse 2. Arise. Arise. God wants us to... He don't want us to set on our everlastings. He wants us to go. You can't spell God without go. You can't spell grow without G-O, go. A church that goes for God will grow. A going church is a growing church. Amen? And he said, go, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. I'm going to tell you right now, God hates sin. God hates sin. Christians, the Bible says we are to abhor, eschew evil. In other words, we ought to hate evil. We ought not want to be around people with evil. Stay away from evil TV programs. Stay away from things that are evil. God hates those things. As he is holy, you that are holy, be holy as like in him, the scripture says, tells us. To walk with him and to know him. Amen? And just like God hates evil, we ought to have an enmity against evil. It ought to be repulsive to us also. And the reason you can't tell Christians from the world today, because Christians are just as evil as the world. Our lives ought to be different. I was talking to Gordy and Billy before church, how that one man, Kim Allen, soaked his whole life. He got saved here, an alcoholic. And his whole life turned 360 degrees. And Gordy was saying, "Preacher, isn't that amazing how God, when he saves somebody, sometimes they just give their whole life to God." Yeah. We ought to give our whole life to God. Holy, without reservation. And so notice, God hates sin and we ought to have a hatred for sin. We ought to eschew evil. Notice, when the Lord speaks to us, we need to listen. the Bible says, the Lord spoke and said, go to that great city Nineveh, and because their wickedness come up before me. You know, when God speaks to us, Sabbath, sometimes we think, I ain't got no time for you, God. Lord, I wish I had time for you, but maybe next week. No, no matter what it is, when God speaks to you, you stop what you're doing. And you say, Lord, as the prophet Samuel said, Lord, here am I, speak. Thy servant heareth. Are you with me? And too many times God wants to speak to us, but we don't want to listen to what he has to say to us. Too many times, Lord, I know you're speaking to me, but I really don't want to give in on that matter right now. I'd rather keep doing what I'm doing, Lord. You know, that one thing that's in there, I want to lay around in that once a little bit longer. No, when he speaks to us, we need to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Amen. Amen? And so God hates sin, and when God speaks, we need to listen. And God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach to their wickedness. I wonder how many times God has spoken to us. I want you to go witness to somebody. That man needs to be preached to, or that lady needs to be witnessed to, or that person needs a track, and we say, Lord, I can't talk, I'm too afraid. How many of you have ever been that way? You know what I'm talking? Lord, I don't know if they'd like me to tell them that or not. No, if God tells you to do something, you need to do it. You need to do it. I've used this example, but it's the truth. Years ago, I was working at Allied Chemical as a young kid preacher, and there was a guy down the hall from me. He was a drunkard. And all day long, God said, go down and witness to that guy. Go down and witness to that guy. And I said, Lord, he ain't going to listen to me. He's going to cuss me out. And boy, the whole day, the Lord said, go witness to him. Go witness to him. Finally, I said, I give up. I'll go. He's going to cuss me, but I'll go. You won't let up on me. So I walked down there, and this is the truth. I said, I want to tell you, God's been telling me to come down here all day, but I've been putting it off. But I got to tell you, God wants you to be saved, and he told me to come down and tell you that he loved you, and you need to be saved. And I was getting ready for the guy to start throwing stuff at me and cussing me. He fell to the floor and started to weep. He sat down on the bench, and he hung his head. And I said, let me tell you more about Christ. You know, I was so glad I obeyed God that day. You know, the Lord will never put in your heart to do something that he knows it's not right to be done. God would never tell you to do something that he doesn't want you to do. Amen? And so when he tells us, no matter what it is, if it's even witnessing to people or praying for somebody, the Lord put DJ's heart in my heart just about 4 o'clock. I stopped right what I was doing. I said, oh God, be with DJ. I don't know where I know he's over in Iraq, but I don't know where he is in Iraq. I said, God, just be with DJ right now. I also played for Kenny and the rest of them too, but I said, Lord, you know, folks, when God speaks to our hearts about somebody or something, listen, I know we're talking about Jonah tonight, but what about us? I know he's not telling us to go to Nineveh, but how many times he's told us to do something or give up something or and we say, no, we're no better than Jonah. Amen? And then verse 3, look what happens when we disobey God and don't respond. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can I say something I told the kids at school? They're hearing some of this for the second time. It's good you didn't get it the first time anyways. You were too tired. You didn't listen. Yeah, they did. You can't outrun God. I remember I ran for God for 1 year when he called me to preach. I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. You're not going to believe this. This is the truth. D, I ran for God for 1 year because I said I couldn't get up and speak in front of people. I said, God, I know you called me, but I get too nervous. I can't talk in front of people. First time I taught an adult Sunday school class, I taught like 10 or 15 minutes, and there was still another half an hour. I said, well, for the rest of the time, read your Bible. I think God answered my prayer. You're praying, God, help him to shut up. It's amazing what God can do when we just give ourselves to him. Amen? And so, but look, you can't run from God. You know, people think they're going to run from, you can't run from God. Listen, you run down the corner, he's already there waiting on you. And so I'll go in the summer and go to the 10,000 leagues underneath the sea, he's already down there. Man, what took you so long? Well, I'll get in the rocket ship and I'll shoot myself up to Mars. He made Mars. There's nowhere you can run from the presence of God. Boys and girls, young people and adults, listen, don't run from God. Just say, okay, God, tell me what to do and how to do it. And give me the courage to do it. Sometimes it's just having courage to do it. Amen? Come on, say amen. And then then look at verse 3 also. Not only did he try to run from God, but notice, watch the descriptive words. He's out of the will of God. He's running from God, right? And he went down. Every time you start running from God and start saying no to God, guess what direction you're heading? Went down. And notice, he found a ship to Tarshish, and he paid the fare. Disobedience will make you go down, and disobedience of God will make you pay the fare. You see, God will take care of the fare if you'll be obedient, but when you're disobedient, you pay for being disobedient. And by the way, sin will make you stay longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you a lot more than you want to pay. Amen? And so, and then quickly with me, Jonah paid the fare, and I noted this. There is always a price to pay for our disobedience to God. Oh, it don't really matter. It does matter. And Natalie Rose and Austin, the kids, if you ever say no to God, you mark her down. There'll be a time when God says to you, no, you were bad. You should have obeyed me. I'm telling you, we need to put some fear in not just the kids, young kids' hearts, but the big kids' hearts. When you disobey God, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in trouble. God wants us to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but you ain't kidding. And notice also, there was a great wind, verse 4, a storm came. Had you ever noticed something? When you start running from God and getting out of the will of God, seems like everything goes crazy. Everything's out of whack. And by the way, that storm, there was a real storm there. But, you know, when you get out of disobedience, you better watch out. You're going to have a lot of heartaches and sorrows and a lot of troubles that would have not normally came. Because you stirred the pot. Are you with me? And they finally said, Jonah, everybody was terrified in that ship. You know the story, verses 12 through 15. Chapter 1 there. They said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to all die. The waves kept coming and the winds kept blowing. And Jonah says, you gotta throw me off, man. I'm the guy. I'm the one causing this. If you didn't have me there, you wouldn't have a storm. And we can't do that. And all of a sudden, man, they finally said, Jonah, we're going to die. And they pulled straws. They said, oh, it's you, Jonah. You ain't kidding. You weren't lying. So they grab Jonah. One, two, three, and whipped him out of there. By the way, after they whipped him out, the storm stopped. There's a truth I want you to get from that. Do you know those? If Jonah would have been obedient, he would not have been on that ship. If Jonah would have been obedient, those people on that ship to Tarshish would have never encountered that storm. What I want you to see is this. When we're disobedient, not only do we affect our own selves and we hinder our own lives, but we hinder people around us. When we are disobedient to God, we hinder those around us. Not just ourselves, but those that we come in contact, we take them down too. Those people were going down in the ship because Jonah was the one that was causing all the trouble. They took the trouble out and the storm went away. That's why, by the way, you young people, don't run around with troublemakers. Troublemakers will bring you nothing but trouble. And some of you older people, you need to learn that too. Don't be running with these bars and run with these people. They're going to get you in trouble. Stay out of them bars. Stay out of them places that you aren't supposed to be in. Oh, I'm not drinking alcohol, preacher. I'm drinking Pepsi or Coke or Burn. I don't care. Stay out of those dark, those devil places. By the way, you keep, the reason you're there because you're entertaining evil. Or you wouldn't be there. Amen? Isn't that good preaching? Of course, when they got rid of Jonah, guess when you read the scriptures, look at Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. By the way, Jesus in Matthew 12 called it a whale. In Matthew 12, Jesus in verse 39 and 40, he said, this is an evil and adulterous generation, but he said, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. As he was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be. Now, he was a type of, in a sense, how Christ is going to be in the earth 3 days and three nights. He was a sign, amen, how he came out. He wasn't a type of Christ as far as his disobedience, but as far as the 3 days, three nights. And Christ, by the way, I told the kids this, if that was a makeup story, you think Jesus would be using it? Do you think if that didn't really happen, you think Jesus would have said it as an illustration? It really happened. By the way, it's been proven. It wouldn't have to prove to me. If they would have said a hummingbird from West Virginia swallowed Jonah, I'd still believe it. I'm serious. Isn't that their bird? Isn't that the hummingbird their state bird? I thought it was. Maybe I'm wrong. That's the first time I saw them. I saw it in West Virginia. They're pretty cool. Carl, I mean, if God said a hummingbird swallowed Jonah, I'd still believe it. Because God can do anything. But then, by the way, he said a whale did it. And by the way, the British sailors have pulled out whales. Whalers have pulled out whales and cut them open, and they found people alive in them. So it's been proven that you can go in a whale and still live. They didn't have to prove it to me. I believe God's word no matter what. Amen? But to the people that are suspect of God's word, history proves that out. Amen? Well, notice, now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then, if you'll notice, he's in there 3 days and three nights. And then look at chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. What do you mean, then Jonah prayed? When's then? When he's in the belly of the whale. Down in all the mire and the guck and all those chewed up fish and all that smelly, slimy, gooey, gooey good stuff. Amen? The kids loved it in chapel. So the boys were just eating that gooey, green, goop, goop. This guy was going, yeah, yeah. It wasn't until he was afflicted, though, that he prayed. Notice, he cried by reason of mine affliction. Why do we have to get so far down? Bobby, why does our life have to sink so low? In this case, he was below. He was so low you couldn't go no lower before we pray. I told the kids, I'm going to tell you, you know, if we would make prayer a regular thing of our life, Eddie, if we would make prayer a daily manner about everything, I wonder how many things we could keep ourselves from getting in trouble with if we take the Lord in prayer all the time with it. He should have been praying about this trip to Tarshish on the boat before he went. Amen. Now he's in a jam. And by the way, that's the best time when that's where the Christians mostly always pray. We have to get in a jam before we pray. Oh God, I really messed up now, Lord. I really need you. Hello. Well, what about? Well, I didn't need you last week, God, but my this big whale here, this Shamu, he's for real. And we're not up there in SeaWorld, man. This is out in the middle of the Mediterranean. Amen. Are you with me? Notice. So Jonah prayed, and he was, because he was afflicted. We need to pray before we're afflicted. In the verse 10, 2:10, the Lord spake unto the fish. The Lord heard Jonah's prayer, and he had the fish, the whale. The Lord spake unto the fish, when we know it's a whale because Jesus called it a whale. By the way, in 17, it calls it a great fish. A great fish is a large fish. It's a whale. By the way, you might say Jonah was having a whale of a time. He liked going whaling. But notice what the scripture says in 10. He spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah. He puked him up. He upchucked him. Can you imagine when Jonah... You know what, Eddie? Can you imagine how stinky, rotten smell he had? One of my grandkids the other day didn't mean to. He was sick, but he puked on our steps. Rosie had been trying to get rid of that pukey smell off our steps. She shampooed it, put some... You can still go on and say, oh, I can smell that puke. Oh. Can you imagine being in a whale's belly for 3 days? Can you imagine all that puke that was all over him? Hello? I mean, I'm going to tell you, he had the stink. I believe you could smell him coming a long way. Hello? Are you still with me? Right guard would have not did any good that day. Can you imagine being in that slime for 3 days? It really happened. He come out, there's no doubt his skin was all probably wrinkled up and maybe different coloration, maybe real white or something. He had to be really bad because your skin starts to discolor when you're in that kind of acid. Are you with me? Then all the junk, how many of you ever went fishing? Did you know that's what whales eat? A lot of fish. Fish stink. Especially after 3 days, not eating them, just letting them sit there. How many are getting it? You see, look up here. See, there's nothing good about us. But all what God can do with people, even though we are the stench of the world, God can still use us if we'll avail ourselves to Him. Amen? Notice in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Why does God have to tell us a second time? Why don't we respond the first time? How many times does God have to tell us to do something before we do it? I was telling the kids Friday, when your parents tell you to do something, do it the first time. You know, well, this is the second time I'm telling you, third time I'm telling you, get your room cleaned up, take the garbage out, do this, and then, why can't we just do it the first time? Amen? See, when we don't do it the first time, you know what that's called? Rebellion. and rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Don't take lightly disobeying God, because I'm going to tell you, when you do, you've got rebellion, and that's a sin of witchcraft, which is evil and an abomination to God. Hello? Getting quiet here now, isn't it? Telling you this is the truth. But I notice he came up, and notice this is so great. Verse 4. I wish I could. Someday I'd like to pull this off just to shock the whole church. He preached a message, won the whole city to Christ. 8 words. 8 words! Could you believe a preacher could do a message in 8 words? I mean, he preached 8 words and the message was over! Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4, chapter 3. Jonah began to enter the city, day's journey, and he cried and said, boy, I'll tell you one thing, I never thought, boy, my bloodhounds wouldn't have no trouble following him, the his trail, would they? They could smell him a mile away. But notice, he cried and said, watch it. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8 words. That was his sermon. 8 words. And that was the power of God. Because God put his power on top of those words. He said in 8 days, look what he said there. Yet in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. He said, you got 40 days, folks, and that's all. You're going to kill you. You're going to destroy all of you. 8 words. I'd love to preach a message, just eight words. But you guys would say, oh, I can't. You'd be going home. Somebody would have a heart attack. I'd have a heart attack. But those words were so powerful, and those words were so sent from God, that from the king on down, they repented in dust and ashes. Now in closing, I just want to give this last thought, and I hope you get this thought. Look at chapter 4, verse 11. Close with this thought right here. Of course, Jonah, he's mad because they repented. You think he'd be shouting amen, hallelujah? Nah, he's not. Look what the Lord says. And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city wherein are more than 60, 20. So six times 20 is 120. And instead it says 1,000, so it would be 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. God said, Jonah, you ought to be excited. You just were used by me to intervene for 120,000 people. And not only that, there was a lot of animals, there was a lot of cattle there too. They didn't get destroyed. Here's a thought I want to give to you. Isn't it something that one man with only 8 words, with really a heart that wasn't really 100% behind God, one man used by God reached and saved 120,000 people. The reason I'm saying this, thank God for our missionaries, like the Mark Sigstads and the Tim Seavers that go to Africa and different places. How many thousands of people have been reached by one man? Thank God for our bus workers. You don't know what's going to come from all these people that were saved. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers. Lee Robinson was led to Christ by a Sunday school teacher, Dr. Lee Robinson, who's led thousands of people. I mean, multi-thousands. Thank God for a prayed up, soul winning Sunday school teacher that led Dr. Lee Robinson as a young boy to Christ. What I'm trying to tell you is this. And thank God for Dr. Russell Anderson. He's not even a preacher. But he's used his money that God's given him to help colleges and churches all over America. And through that, I think you've probably seen, probably over 1 million people have been saved. Or probably more than that in all the different ministries. All because one man. He's not even a preacher. Multitudes. There's going to be multitudes of people in heaven because of Dr. Russell Anderson, and he's not even a preacher. But he obeyed God. And he gave what he had to God for the glory of God. I don't care who you are today. The truth is this, what I want you to get is this. Youth pastor, on any, you name whatever you are. When you're obedient, you don't know what God's going to do with that act of obedience that you do for him. This act of obedience by Jonah led 120,000 people to Christ. Had he not went, they might have perished. And another thing I want to give you. Can you imagine? You never know how your life's going to affect somebody. Because when you're obedient to God, He opens up the windows of heaven and God blesses. You don't know what God's going to do down there at that mission, Tommy, when you're there. You just don't know. All you got to do is be obedient to go there. Are you still with me, church? D, I know you're a single lady by yourself. But I'm going to tell you, and this, as a matter of fact, the whole line there, the three of you don't know what God can do with, just stay obedient. Because you might reach out to someone and might do something in obedience to God that'll change the history of mankind for people that for eternity. Look at this and I'll stop. But what about if we're disobedient? What about if we're disobedient? Maybe thousands of people will never be reached. If he don't go to Nineveh, stays disobedient, they might never be reached. And that man today, that man this week, Kim Allen, I'm going to keep, I'm done. I'm glad we were obedient. I'm glad we're obedient to let people know that this church is here and to welcome all people, no matter who they are. He was an alcoholic. He was a street kid. Rough and ready. And I'm so glad he got saved here and got his life transformed. And what was amazing, people after people kept saying, and I didn't even remember him, Eddie. And I had a counseling session with them down there. They're saying, everyone's crying. Man, I don't know what you said to him, preacher, but it changed his whole life. I don't even know what I said to him. I know I met with him. I knew he was a street. I probably just put it right on line. I probably shot pretty straight with him. Guys like that, you can't mess around with. You don't patty cake with certain guys. You got to just put it right there where it's at. His brother came up. I'm saved. Thanks for reaching my brother. I didn't get saved until after he got saved. His good friend came up and said, man, hugged me, crying, thank you for reaching Jim. He brought me to church, told me about the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You see, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Don't take anything lightly in life. Because the very thing that God wants you to be obedient to might be the very thing. Even giving a tract to somebody, if God tells you to do it, or saying a prayer for somebody, or driving a bus to pick some, whatever God tells you to do, when you're obedient, you don't know what God's going to do for eternity with that obedience. He reached 120,000 people. And he was nothing but a backslider. What could he do with a person plugged in? And you never know what you're doing with this youth department. Don't get discouraged if you don't have 50 right away. Because Eddie, you don't know. You might have something in here that you don't know what's going to, in the future, it's going to turn this world upside down. Just be obedient to do it. And see, the truth I want you to get out of this story from Jonah is, when we're obedient, we bless people. When we're disobedient, we take people down. How's your life going to affect others around you? Are you going to be obedient to God to be a blessing? Or are you going to be disobedient and take them down? Will you be an influence for salvation? Or will you be a stumbling block to send someone straight to hell? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for the time we've had today. And Lord, I pray that we'll learn from Jonah. Not just the story of Jonah. We know that's a true story. But the principle, the underlying principles and truth that stands behind Jonah. That we learn from the story of Jonah. Help us see the importance of obedience. God, help us ever understand that our obedience not only affects our personal life, but our obedience affects everyone around us. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I asked Christ to save me. And I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven." Could you raise that hand? Thank you. You may put them down. Jesus said you must be born again. You must trust Christ as your Savior. It's not religion. It's not church. It's making Christ your Savior. Let Him come in your heart and be your Savior. And if you don't do it, you're in disobedience. And disobedience of knowing Christ as your Savior will send you to a devil's hell forever. What you need to do if you don't know Christ tonight, you need to come forward and say, "Jesus, save my wretched soul. Save me from hell. And Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior." Be obedient to God when He calls you. Say yes. That's the first act of obedience, taking Christ as your Savior. Until you take Christ as your Savior, you're in disobedience the rest of your life, all your life. How many would say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but lately God spoke to me and I've been putting them off. I know I'm in disobedience in some things and I need to give it over to God. Pray for me." Who'd say that? God bless you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Maybe you're today and you say, "Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to hell, and I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, would you pray that I won't die in disobedience to God? Would you pray that I wouldn't die and go to hell?" Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. Pray for me. When people say no to God, they walk away in disobedience. Salvation takes obedience to come to Christ. Heavenly Father, we preached what you put in our heart. And Lord, I thank you for teaching us truth from the Scriptures. Help us to be obedient. I pray for everyone here that might not know you as Savior. Oh God, Holy Spirit, come down. Work in the heart. Work in the hearts of those that don't know you. Help them to see that you love them and that you died for them, that you arose, you're coming back. Help those people see that, Lord, they need a Savior to get them to heaven. Help them to see that no matter how young they are, how old they are, one day they're going to die. And when they die, if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they'll perish in eternal hell's fire. Help them to see that you came in love to save them from that. Lord, help these Christians. A lot of them raised their hand on both sides of the church here and said, "I've been in disobedience and I need to give that to God." Father, I pray that you'd have your will and way in their life. Help us all to be a blessing to those around us Help us to walk in obedience, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What verse are you on? 394. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now. From God. Don't be a Jonah, disobedient to God. People are praying. Maybe you'd like to come. You come. You'd like to make Christ your Savior tonight. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm just talking about saying, yes, I want Jesus to come and save my soul from hell. You do that.